Good day, fellow Earthlings. It is a very exciting episode of the Between the Tackles podcast. First things first, we got a full house here with Burge and Manish alongside, but we have Panthers legend, Panthers great, Pro Bowl running back, over 7,300 yards in the NFL, Jonathan Stewart on the pod. Very excited for him coming up. I don't know about you guys.
I'm super pumped, especially with how the Panthers, you know, coming off that tough game this past week, but I still am somewhat of a believer in that team.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that, but I'm definitely excited to bring along Jonathan Stewart, Carolina Panthers all-time leading rusher. You know, little known fact, a lot of people probably thought it was Christian McCaffrey, but it's Jonathan Stewart.
Wow, that's a pretty good nugget there. And dude, he's just an interesting, very interesting career from when he was drafted with that franchise and then the last couple of years there with Cam Newton and the heights they reached. So very excited to talk to him. We will catch it. We're going to throw it to ourselves right now. We're going to catch it on the other side. We are now back with Panthers legend Jonathan Stewart. Thank you for taking the time, man. How are you?
I'm good, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We've got some, it's kind of getting to that point of the season where I feel like every other game on the calendar is important. And I know that the team you played for, the team you follow, the team you're still pretty involved with has a pretty important game this weekend. So we wanted to jump in on that. Have you been enjoying kind of the rise of the Panthers this year and kind of, I don't want to say out of nowhere, but I don't think that every analyst and every guy on a podcast was picking the Panthers to come out of the NFC South.
Well, I'm definitely the hopium of the podcast community here in the Carolinas. No, but you know, I wouldn't necessarily back anything that I don't believe. You know, I do believe that the Carolina Panthers, you know, it's hard to ignore. How about that? You know, that the Carolina Panthers are well on their way. You know, we've been able to see what it looks like to have bad teams. We've been able to see what it looks like to have, you know, the growing pains of toxicity or with toxicity. And that's all part of, you know, the story. As part of everyone's organization, as part of any business, as part of anything worth having, you have to go through those moments to really appreciate, you know, where you're going, where you are, and what's next. So for me, as a Carolina Panther, you know, turned Carolina Panther fan, it's very exciting. You know, I started podcasting somewhere in 2021, 22, I would believe, in Panthers. It was an opportunity for me to, you know, to see kind of what that world is like. And I enjoy it. It keeps me involved. It keeps me in tuned. And always trying to figure out how good I can get at something. And this is a lane that I'm experiencing. How good can I get, right? You know, just like you guys, you know, talking sports and being knowledgeable of the game and but more importantly, championing, you know, the experience of a fan. So the Carolina Panthers, you know, going into last week against the Saints, they had it. You know, they had every opportunity to win that game. But they also, you know, showed that, you know, there are still some growing pains that they have to experience, such as, you know, discipline. 10 penalties, costly penalties at that, where, you know, there's 6 penalties that convert to first downs. You're basically handing, you know, the other team, you know, the conversion rate, you know. And I think, you know, how this has been the last, 6 weeks, has been win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. So it's been a roller coaster. And, but I think we're well on our way, man. I think this week is, if we're not the favorites, we have a chance, right? That's kind of been the notion, that's been the narrative. And so I expect a win for sure, since we're not the favorites.
That's funny that you mentioned that, Jonathan, because as you're fully aware, the Panthers are 0-12 as betting favorites since 2021. And so on the flip side, because you guys are home underdogs, 3 points against Tampa, maybe you have a fighting chance. I know year over year, things don't necessarily translate, but last year in Carolina, that game went to overtime. It took a 51-yard field goal by Tampa as time expired to get to overtime before they eventually beat you guys. But I'm always fascinated by the second year of a regime. You got Dave Canales. Dan Morgan obviously was the assistant general manager before getting promoted. But those two guys now working hand in hand, year two. Year one's typically a culture-setting year, foundational year. You know, they end up winning five games. That's all well and good. But you really want to see how that second year jump is. And, you know, as you said, it's been a seesaw for a couple months now. It's hard to string together back-to-back wins. And what's confounding to me as an outsider who doesn't watch every Carolina Panther game is specifically Bryce Young, because you get games where, you know, he's touching 450 yards and three touchdowns against the Falcons. And then you've got a guy who maybe isn't stretching the field, looking for checkdowns more often. I want to get your assessment on his play this year. The numbers overall are fine, but week to week, what have you liked and what do you think he needs to do to continue to develop?
Well, I mean, you know, this game, the National Football League, any professional, any league in general, right? It's all about consistency, right? And we got to remind ourselves, this is still a young team. It's not an excuse. It's just part of the process, right? And that process shouldn't take 7 years, right? But it is part of the process. It's been 2 years with Dan at the with Dan Morgan. Well, 1 year. Well, this is the second year Dan Morgan. He had one offseason last year. This will be his second offseason as a GM. But with Dave Canales, this is the second year as a head coach calling plays. And, you know, last year's team looks completely different than this year's team. So we have to be realistic with the expectations for Bryce. You know, he's been cooking in a kitchen with just salt and pepper, right? And salt and pepper can get you, you know, a certain, you know, type of meal, right? a certain type of product. But, you know, when you start, you know, getting, you know, some excitement with Rico Dowdle, with T-Mac, and you start seeing, you know, Jalen Coker rise as a guy that can be dependable, and you start mixing in the tight ends. I mean, Mitchell Evans, the tight end that we got this year, the rookie, he's a young guy. I think he's got a lot of promise, you know, going forward in the future. You look at the offensive line. The offensive line hasn't been perfect, but they haven't, you know, been a problem necessarily this year, right? And compared to years prior to, and looking, you know, at the injuries that we had earlier on this year with Robert Hunt and Cade Mays, there's guys that have been going down, you know, week after week. And for whatever reason, they've been able to still find some sustainability at the offensive line position. And I think a lot of that is because, Dave is learning, you know, who is in the kitchen. He's learning, you know, what seasonings that there is and what goes with what. Like, you can't just put, you know, paprika on everything, right? But, you know, if you know, a game calls for breakfast and all you want to do is have some cold cereal, and maybe that's all you need, right? Simplify your offense in one game because it requires it. You know, we've experienced that where we've gone into Green Bay and we've simplified the offense and we took what the defense gives you and you come out victorious and let the defense win that game. You know, that might be a Pop-Tart, right? You don't need no paprika. But needless to say, I think it's just been a learning curve for everybody. You know, 1 week you're feeling like, oh, this is our identity. We run the ball. We start the game off with some physical attitude and we punch them in the mouth and we let our offensive line get physical. And then our defense goes out there and our defensive line gets stingy with the line of scrimmage, right? And so that's our identity. And that's how it's been in previous years, right? Run the ball, play defense. And then the next week, you kind of say to yourself, well, dang, we thought we had our identity, but now we don't know who we are. No, we know who you are. We just got to figure out how do we get to that every week. because the game plan that you had last week, your opponent next week is going to know what that game plan was. So you're going to have to prepare differently. You're still going to have the same mindset, the same identity. You're just going to have to deliver it differently. You're going to have different seasonings. You're going to have different options, right? You still want that thing to not have, you don't want it to be bland, right? But you want to make sure you're rocking with what your identity is and sense of what you're trying to have as far as your product.
As a huge analogy guy myself, that was unbelievable. I ate every bit of that up. That was awesome.
Yeah, you ate all that up, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, all right. So I guess we're going two levels too deep now. Burge, I know you had a couple questions you wanted to get in bed.
Yeah, so I'm a Patriots fan, so I'm the homer of the podcast here. The last time that I really was able to watch the Carolina Panthers was when they came up to Foxborough, and it was not a close game. That was very early in the season. What would you say for this team that has been probably the biggest factor into why they're fighting for the NFC South right now? Because, I mean, for myself, looking at this going into the season, I was not a believer in Bryce Young. I thought that, you know, it was already bust time. He was not going to get back in there. And by the end of the season, he was maybe even going to end up being gone from Carolina. So in your opinion, what do you think has been the kind of the biggest factor as to why the Carolina Panthers are in the position that they're in this week?
I think trust. I think, you know, for Dave Canales and Bryce, you know, with the game plans, with what they're trying to achieve on offense, and it comes with trust. You know, I think as a player, just from my own, you know, standpoint as a running back, understanding going into a week, understanding who we're playing, and if we're playing a team that is very stern in the run game, I can trust that I'll get my touches, but it's going to look different, right? And vice versa, if we're playing a team that is weak in the run game, I can expect my touches to look a certain way, and I'm happy about that, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we go into those situations in game, and, you know, we get, you know, a curveball, right? Oh, wait, we thought this team wasn't really good at stopping the run. Right now, they're kind of stuffing us, right? So how do I land on my feet? I land on my feet because I trust the process. I trust the coaching. I trust what the game plan will be, right? Because we've gone through it through practice. We've had our reps. We've been able to run certain plays at a different formations, and knowing that, you know, okay, we can't rock with 11 personnel, but I'm okay with 12 personnel. I'm okay with 13 personnel because we've done it. We've done it enough to where I have a comfort level. And whatever my coach is telling me in the headset, whatever he's telling me on the sideline, and everybody's on board. And so, again, I think it's been a different levels of, you know, trust that has been developed through experience. You look at the Jaguars game in the beginning of the season. You know, the amount of leaps and bounds I think that Dave Canales has had as a play caller. Stands out, you know, very vividly. I look at, you know, the game where trying to think, what was the game? The 49ers game, right? That was a game where you have a second year head coach calling plays that takes accountability, right? And says, hey, we didn't run the ball. That's on me, right? And when you hear that type of language from a team that is becoming, those are confidence builders. Those are trust builders. Those are blocks that I can ride or die with. Like, my coach went on and took the blame for something that he didn't have to take the blame for, because we know a lot of coaches out there that are throwing people under the bus, right? And so it's important for, you know, I look at Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera, if we were wrong, if the players were wrong, he was going to say it was my fault, right? That's a guy that you would run in the street for, right? You would stop in front of the bus for, because you don't want to disappoint him. You want to prove him right. Like, if he says that it wasn't our fault, even though we know it was our fault, and he's out there telling the public that it was his fault, we want to make sure we prove him right, you know? And so I just look at this team from where they've been in leadership. You know, it does take time, especially when you are in the hiring process. you know, everyone has something bad to say about these owners these days and what are they doing? They don't know what they're doing. Well, I guarantee you, you put yourself in that scenario as a first time owner of anything, a first time owner of a house at that, yeah. Right? You got to figure out, okay, well, the foundation, there are rats in the foundation. How's our plumbing? Is our plumbing good? Do I got to get the roof inspected, right? There's a lot of inspections that have to happen, and there's a lot of things that you have to follow up on, or else that house will fall apart and not be of any value besides the land, right? And so this is, to me, part of the Carolina Panthers story. And if you look closely, there's been a lot of things that have been done right.
Joe, you got to take some notes. These analogies that are coming out are hitting right on the money.
This has been the best 15 minutes of my life. This is unbelievable.
Jonathan, I didn't want to kind of follow up what you said earlier about the running game. That's obviously your bread and butter. I think a lot of people forget, even though it's been only a couple years, that the initial plan was for Jonathan Brooks to eventually overtake Chuba Hubbard in the backfield. But, you know, he had dealt with injuries at Texas and re-injured himself, with Carolina. And then now comes in this guy they got off the clearance rack, 1 year, $2.75 million deal, Rico Dowdle, shot out of the cannon when Hubbard was hurt. And I really felt that that was something that the Panthers could hang their hat on this season. I mean, he just dominated for the better part of a month. I know he's cooled off a little bit since then, but I wanted to get your assessment of where the running game is now with Dowdle and Hubbard, and what you think the future is. I know, obviously the next 3 weeks are pivotal for the playoff hopes for this franchise, but moving forward, what do you see as how that running back room will look like in 2026 and beyond?
You know, I think, with Jonathan Brooks, he's been on the shelf this whole year, getting healthy, getting stronger. And I think that's something that people can't ignore, right? You know, this is a guy that, just the game that he did play, he looked explosive. He looked different. He looked like a guy that could take over a game, right? So he's on the shelf, and that's a good thing for the Panthers, because just one more year of him getting stronger as a young athlete, young running back in this league that has potential. You look at ETN from Florida right. State. He's a cat that's on the kickoff return. He comes in on third downs every now and then, but he has promise as a change of pace back. And then you have Chuba and you have Rico. Chuba Hubbard last year was part of the turnaround of the Carolina Panthers. I go back to the New York Giants game in Germany where they extended him, and he went into that game and basically proved why you extended him, right? There's a level of confidence that I have in Chuba when it comes to the DNA of who the Carolina Panthers are, which is keep pounding, right? He exudes what you would want out of a player. A guy that shows up to the building, first person in the building, last person out of the building, first person on the field for game day, and a guy that goes out there and puts in the work and expects for good things to happen because he's put in the work. So when you talk about a pro's pro, that's Chuba Hubbard, and then you look at Rico. Right. A guy that nobody wanted. There's fuel over there. There's fuel that you can't get. You can't purchase this fuel at your local gas station. Right. This might not even be jet fuel. Right. This might be fuel that takes you to space for all I care, because the way he ran and the way he runs, period. It's a man that's possessed. It's a man that's out there trying to prove something, right? And that's what we saw earlier in the year. And you take a guy like that that's healthy at that, you're going to get all of that. But as we know, this is a long season. Injuries do happen. Bodies do wear and tear. And you get to this point in the season, you have now a healthy Chuba Hubbard and a guy that's been sitting watching another guy go off. And all that does is give him fuel, And we just talked about the different types of fuel, right? So we have two options, and I don't expect us to be limited to just two options. I expect both of those guys to be a Carolina Panther next year. I expect Jonathan Brooks to have a shot to show who he is on this roster. Because at the end of the day, if we're going to lay our hat on who, what is our DNA, what is our identity is the spark that Rico provided this year, the spark that Chuba provided last year, and the sparks that they both have now, like, lived together on the field, you know. And when the Carolina Panthers start the game off with, you know, runs, and they're getting 5 yards a carry, 4 yards a carry, that's when you know it's going to be a good day, right? The problem is when you have negative plays to start off a game, and that goes for any team. When you have negative plays and then all of a sudden you start doing things and calling plays that are out of character, that's when you kind of, you have to learn how to land on your feet. And I think that's part of the trust factor. That's part of, you know, I understand going in, we were going to buy, you know, some candy, but we left with, you know, a ribeye. It's okay. We still left with something. It's good. Trust the process. We're going in there with, we're going in there to buy something. It just turns out that the candy aisle was shut down. Okay. We're just going to go and get the red meat and we're going to get out of here. Okay. So just trust that process. We're going to eat. Everybody going to eat. All right. So, that's another analogy for you.
I'm floating on my seat. This is great.
I mean, look, you have lived and seen the benefits of multiple running backs doing well. You guys made the playoffs with both you and D'Angelo Williams getting opportunities. So I just want to look ahead here to this weekend. Hubbard, Rico playing a top 10 run defense in Tampa. Now, all that being said, anybody who watched the game the other night saw Bijan Robinson kind of carve them up, but Bijan Robinson kind of plays on a different level. How do you think the run game matches up against Tampa this weekend?
You know, I think we, the good thing about this league, it is a copycat league. And so there, whatever we saw last week out of Atlanta, there's certain elements that we could be able to achieve the same thing, right? You know, he's very good with the outside zones, very patient runner, but also has the ability to take nothing and turn it into something. We have those same characteristics within our backs, and we've seen it. You know, you can only gain what you call. And when I say that, we have to make sure we're calling the right plays in the run game. We have to do what's most beneficial to our offensive line's technique and what they're capable of. We have to be able to do what our backs are capable of, right? And, you know, we run heavy duo. We are a good duo team. And I think when you have Chuba in there, that's his bread and butter. He loves duo. So let him duo that thing up, right? And I think when you're an offensive lineman, it's the easiest thing to accomplish to see the guy across from you and just block him. So simplify the game in what you're good at. Just stick to what you're good at and find opportunities along the way to throw in those wrinkles of what you're seeing on film, right? Okay, we can exploit this team when we see this look. So when we get into a 2nd and 7 opportunity, we know they're going to, you know, they're going to have a shade on our guard, right? And so when we have a shade on our guard, what running plays fit best when it comes to that particular shade? So there's a lot of things that you're going to be able to, you know, find matchups for, but you don't lay your hat on it. You lay your hat on what works. What do you do good, right? And I think going into this game with the Buccaneers, they can be had. I understand that they rank a certain, you know, rank in the league in the run game, but they haven't faced the Carolina Panthers yet, is what I'm saying. And so we've been able to run on the best of them. I think the struggles we had against the Buffalo Bills, the struggles we had against the Patriots, right? The struggles we had against the Saints, you know, those are all valid, you know, teams that we that have brought it in the sense of stopping a run and trying to, you know, make us do one thing, which is pass the ball, challenging Bryce Young. I think you call your game plan has to be, you know, we dictate things, right? I think you go into a game like this where you need to win, you have to win two games against Tampa Bay, you become the dictator. And then defensively, don't play not to lose, play to win. You know, and I know a lot of the defenses, you know, with 2-minute offenses and, you know, closing out games and offense has the ball and you just don't want them to score. You have J.C. Horn. You have Mike Jack. Mike Jack is playing out of his mind, in my opinion, as far as him getting picked on, you know, every single game. He's been having a solid year. You know, let these guys have opportunities to make plays. And get them into that realm that it's expected, you know. I think the run game, Rico, Chuba, that has to be heavy. It has to be heavy. It's home. It's a home game. It's going to be nice weather, so the weather's not going to be a factor. So you'll be able to do anything that you want if your game plan is right. Run the ball. Make the linebackers come up to the line of scrimmage. Allow for Bryce to be able to get behind the linebackers with some crossing routes. Jalen Coker likes to eat on those, and T-Mac as well. And then be smart with the ball. You know, protect the ball. Understand down and distance. Understand, you know, have trust in, you know, the guys up front. But also understand the situation. If it's third down, they are coming. If they're not blitzing, the edges are coming. So, just kind of have a little bit more awareness of the situation, so that way you protect the ball, protect the down and distance, and all those types of things, so that way you don't get behind the chains.
I feel like you can already call it a success that, playing important games in week 16, 17, 18, you know what I mean? I feel like that's a pertinent, like you call it, the process that like young teams go through and maturing. And I feel like playing really important games down the stretch and having to execute down the stretch where you're late in the season. I'm sure I'm preaching the choir when I'm saying everybody's sore, everybody's banged up, but you still got to overcome that and really kind of execute and play important games and downs down the stretch. I just wanted to ask you a couple questions about your career before you got out of here, man. Mm-hmm. You brought out Ron Rivera, Riverboat Ron. And I think he's one of the more interesting characters that I've seen behind the microphone and in an NFL headset. And I just wanted to see, to kind of tie it back to our conversation that we've been having. Do you see any parallels between him and what Canales is doing now and maybe the success you could see coming maybe from a mile away just because of the successful coaches that you've been around?
Yeah, I think, you know, Dave Canales is definitely – he's a new age coach. He's a guy that is going to bring the energy, bring the positivity. His emotional intelligence is through the roof. I think he does a great job of always meeting the player where they are, and always looking for the solution with the player. I honestly see that from outside looking in, because the players respond to him through bad games, good games, just through the way they talk about, you know, their coach. It's easy to find, you know, clippings of other guys from other teams talking in a certain way about the game plan, about, you know, the team's, you know, structure and how they you know, deal with issues, right? And so, you know, I think, you know, Dave Canales, you know, second year head coach, I think he's respected. I think he cares about things that are not just football. You know, I think he honestly preaches to these guys, hey, take care of home first, and put your beliefs, first, and everything else will, pay off. I think he's that type of coach, and that's exactly kind of how Coach Ron Rivera was. He's obviously a guy that's played the game, so the respect for Coach Ron Rivera playing with the Chicago Bears, amongst, the greats, right? And him being a great himself, being a part of that team. And there's a respect there that doesn't even need to be challenged. There's a difference from that standpoint from the two coaches, because he's lived it, he's breathed it, and he's done it in the hardest way, right? Back in the day, football being played was hard. Practices were hard. And so for him to operate from a standpoint of understanding where we are in this day and age, and being able to meet us where we are and be able to set aside his differences of how he experienced things as a player, there's a trust there. There's a trust and there's a respect there, because he understands that it's all about the players. A coach's coach, players play. And you can only, as a coach, you can only execute and understand the flow of the game if you're a play caller. And if you're an assistant coach, you can only gain the trust of the guy to coach him in a way, not about technique, not about how you, what your stance is, but trusting the coach that whatever he's telling me, he's just trying to get the best out of me, right? So coaching isn't all about technique. It's about, do I trust you to let me, to let you enter my space, enter my world to change me, right? Not to change me wholeheartedly, but to help me adapt, right? And I think Coach Rivera was so good at that. He allowed for the leaders on the team to lead, because that was the voice that mattered the most, was the players.
Yeah, just so many excellent stories come out about Ron Rivera. I feel like it's just he must have been such a great guy to play for. Interesting guy.
Oh, man. And he was all for the jokes. He was all for guys that just being themselves. The personalities on our team were crazy. I mean, we had Cam Newton, obviously, and the chatter during practices between him and Thomas Davis, if it didn't happen, something was up, right? Hey, what's going on, right? I remember one time Coach Rivera said, hey, what's wrong with you guys? I need the chatter going. TD, go ahead. I'll let you free. But then sometimes he's like, hey, everybody need to tone down, right? There's a time and place for everything, is one of the things I learned under him. But he was a coach that you loved showing up for. And whenever you got that feeling of, man, I just don't want to disappoint my coach, that's a guy that's a good coach.
You're doing it more for the good of the team than yourself at that point, yep. Right? Yeah. So who do you got this weekend? Who do you got for the division?
This weekend, I have the Carolina Panthers.
Love it.
Unapologetically. I'm a half glass pool type of guy here. Yep. No, but I actually think, the Buccaneers are coming on strong right now. They're getting healthy at the right time. I mean, Godwin's getting his legs back. You got that boy Mike Evans back. And you got the young boy. He's an X factor. He's the guy that scares me the most. So because obviously you're going to respect Mike Evans because he deserves it. Godwin, on the other hand, is like, okay, well, we know what he can do. When is it going to happen? Is it going to happen now? So just the edge for that defense going into their preparation. I feel bad for them, because they're going to have their head on the swivel this weekend. But then you have the running game. It's been a problem. Got that Oregon boy back there toting that pill. It's a dangerous place to be on the field right now with Tampa Bay offense. And Baker Mayfield, coming back home, or not home. This isn't his home, but coming to a place where he does have feelings, right? You know, there's a mixture that could either go bad for them or go terrible for us. So I'm on the bad for them side.
So hold on a second. You're obviously a very nice man. You said complimentary things about both teams. You didn't answer who you think is going to win the division. Who's going to the playoffs from the NFC South?
I already said Carolina Panthers.
Oh, okay. So they're going to win this week.
Look, they are going to go to work. But look, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Rico Dowdle.
I'm writing this down, by the way.
He's going to find success in the outside zones, okay. Mid-zone, outside zone plays. I think there's film to be studied on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for that.
Edge was wide open for Trevion Henderson there in that game.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some turnovers in this game, which will allow for more opportunities to score. Because I think that's part of our formula too, right? You got to run the ball, but you also have to have some turnovers. I think that's this past game against the Saints, we had no turnovers. And that presented a stretch for us in our play calling to where it's like, dang, maybe we should have thrown the ball more. No, we should have just had – we should have – if you look at that fumble that we didn't recover, right, that would have been a turn of events. And then obviously you look at the 103 yards that we gave in penalties, it's a whole field worth, right? So, I think turnovers are to be had. I think Baker's got one for us.
Throw one to you. They'll throw one to you. Just got to catch it. Hey, man, do you want to plug your stuff with Believe in your podcast?
Yeah, man. Check me out on Believe in Panthers podcast, Believe in Oregon podcast, Ducks of a Feather podcast with me and Kenyon Barner. Kenyon was a Patriot.
Yeah.
Kenyon was also a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, and he was also a Philadelphia Eagle.
Yeah.
That boy got 3 Super Bowl rings.
Damn,
dude. He's like a Robin Hood in the NFL.
Yeah. but yeah, check me out on those platforms and, man, happy holidays to you guys.
You the same, man. Thank you very much.
Happy holidays. Good luck in your career. You obviously know what you're talking about, and I just can't wait for the Panthers and David Tepper to build that statue, because you are Mr. Panther. After 35 minutes of talking about how great the Panthers are, I'm dubbing you Mr. Panther.
Yeah, man. I've been doing this for about 4 years now. It's been a rough ride, so it's been well worth the wait, though. I'm going to tell you that. So we out here pushing hopium. And if you need me to come on your podcast to push hopium to the Patriots whenever they start acting crazy, let me know.
I could have used you last week. Yeah, could have used you last week.
Perfect timing.
Well, Patriot fans, don't be stingy, man. Relax.
Oh, here we go. All right, man. Well, thanks again.